Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Welcome to our podcast. My name is Ruth Bromley.
And I'm Graham Thompson.
Our podcast today is called Parenting Our Children Through the Pandemic. I know talking to parents recently, a lot have found this latest lockdown to be harder both on them and on their kids than the last one has been. And so this podcast seems like coming at a really good time where we can talk to a couple of other parents about their experiences over the last months.
That's right. And I think when we talk as parent to parent, honestly, we realise that this is a really tough time and it's perfectly normal to have days that we struggle and we're, you know, frustrated with how we've managed things and we're finding things hard. So we really hope that today will just help people realise that they're in the same boat as everybody else in lots of regards. So we're really pleased to have two guests with us, Caroline Hawthorne and Mark Harding, who are both parents. And Caroline and Mark, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your families.
I'm Caroline Hawthorne and I'm a mum of four. So I have Caleb, who is year nine. Joel is P7. Eli P4 and Molly P2. Had to sell up very slowly just to keep it right. And yeah, life's busy. So I'm a mum and a business owner.
I'm Mark Harding. I'm a school teacher by day and more frequently at the moment by night. I'm a dad of three. So we've got Grace, who's in year 12. I've got Nevin, who's in new year 8. And I've got Seth, who's in P5.
Thank you, guys. The last 10 months have been a bit crazy. They have changed everybody's world. They've affected school, home, church, everything. I know in our house, lots of things have changed and we've had to adjust to new routines and do all that sort of stuff. So can you tell us how the last 10 months have impacted your family as a whole, both in terms of your kids and just how you are as parents?
Sure. I think your introduction was right. I think this second lockdown has certainly felt a lot more difficult, I think, to endure the uncertainty maybe of not knowing when it's going to end or how it's going to end, and particularly with things like when schools will go back, etc. Just really makes it difficult, particularly for older children, I think, not knowing what exams will look like and how they'll be assessed and all that kind of future planning stuff that is really topical and really relevant to older children. I think certainly there's been moments of joy or pockets of happiness, I suppose, in many ways, of having more time together as a family, of course, is something that we won't take for granted. Times to go for walks together, to enjoy the small things, playing games, dancing around the kitchen, you know, stuff that you do that makes the day a little bit more enjoyable. And we've kind of found, I think, with our three, they're very different ages. We've got a girl and two boys, that I think personality and age really plays a part as to how they've been affected or how it's kind of impacted on them. And I think, therefore, it's not a, here is how, you know, the pandemic has impacted on children, full stop. I think for our youngest in particular, he's really quite reveled in the fact that he's got mum and dad at home and he's quite content to see his friends on the computer every so often on Google Classroom. But actually is really comfortable being in the house, doing a bit of homeschool, able to go for an adventure walk every day. And that sort of routine has really worked for him. But I suppose the contrast there is with my daughter, who's in year 12. I think for teenagers, and I'm a school teacher, but also a head of sixth form. And in all of my dealings with older pupils, I think the lack of socialization among their peers, I think, is a radical kind of impact and has made a huge difference to how they see the world, how they see themselves, how they use time, their self-worth, and just how they process. I think socialization is so key in how we process kind of how we're doing, but also how the world works. And so young people spending lots of time on computer screens and in isolation is not a good thing, and certainly is one that we sort of have to keep watching.
I read a quote just yesterday that said, "Enjoy the little things, for one day you may look back and realise they were the big things." And that's a little bit like what you're saying, and how important it is to enjoy those little things and revel, like you said, revel in those. Caroline, do you want to tell us a wee bit about how the last 10 months have impacted your family?
Have we got all night? Pretty much similar in a way to what Mark's saying. The kids have all responded very differently. They're different ages. The last lockdown, I feel it was much more stressful in homeschooling. Now, this lockdown is harder in different ways because I think we've run out of patience and we're like, oh, here we go again. And, you know, you're trying to keep going and going and then there's another lockdown. But the first one, I very much put pressure on myself to be a super teacher, you know, and to educate the kids. And there was no need for that. And Caleb was year 8. So Mark, I feel for you because I think year 8 is really difficult because Caleb had this laptop he'd never used. He had to go into Google Classroom. He had to upload tasks. Stuart, my husband, was spending so much time trying to just show him how to navigate a laptop and do all of that. Whereas this time round, now I don't know what standard his education is at because I go, Caleb, son, away up to your room and I don't see him and I don't know what he's submitting. I tend to then deal with the other three downstairs in the kitchen. So yeah, it's hard enough on them. But Molly is our youngest and she is just loving having me. She's very clingy to me and she's just thinking this is great. Mummy's my teacher. And they're all very different in how they respond to home teaching and they're getting on okay in terms of social life. They've had to enjoy each other's company more and there's highs and lows there. There are some days, like this week, Caleb, my eldest, was building Lego with Eli and I actually took a quick photo because it's such a rare thing and sent it to my mum because I was like, look at this, they do love each other. Because the next day they could be pulling the hair off each other. So at moments like that, I'm so thankful for. Ultimately, they are very resilient and very adaptable to change. And thankfully, they know they're loved and their home is their safe place. In terms of my job then, I have my own beauty business. And obviously, beauty has been a big sector that's been affected. So I've had to be more creative. And I can't physically do people's eyebrows, but I'm trying to have more of an online presence and sort my website. You do all of that. So it's busy because Stuart's busy too. So mornings are school and then the afternoons I try to do a bit of my own work.
I think you're absolutely right. Kind of those moments where the kids just look like they're getting on, it makes your heart sing because you know they don't, it's not a continuous sort of storyline that runs through the day. But also we find ourselves just saying so often, boys, you can actually be friends. Yes, you're brothers, but you can be friends, you know, rather than it always being like the hand gets lifted or the foot gets lifted as they walk past and they're tripping each other up and just kind of poking the bear, as it were. My year 8 son, Nevin, he was asked by school to do like a trick shot in the garden for PE. And so he got Seth to be the cameraman and Seth's very compliant. And so there was this moment of like, oh, isn't this awesome? You know, and Nevin's doing his trick shots from the trampoline through to the basketball net. And Seth's quite happy to be the cameraman. And so it's grabbing hold of those moments. I suppose it's like Mary pondering them in their heart. It's that kind of, there were moments like this, you know, and there will be again. But yeah, I think as well, getting siblings to recognise that they can be friends, I think is actually really quite significant because even as they get older, do you know, this time, they'll never have as much time in each other's company as they have now. And I suppose it's just trying to find the positives at the moment.
Mark, I was going to pick up on that actually because, you know, I think we can focus on the negatives and there are definitely negative impacts on our kids in this. But you're both sort of brought out that there's some positives. And I wonder, have you noticed in your kids, I also have a P7 Caroline, and I think one of the things she has learned is independent study skills, you know, which will stand her in good stead. And that's you know, not the way we planned it. But I wonder, have you noticed positive things, impacts, opportunities for your kids in these past number of months? And have you seen things that concern you, negative impacts on them?
What I would say is there's a lot at the moment, certainly out in the public sphere, about the mental health of children. And as a school teacher, I absolutely see that. And you can see that, as Caroline talked about, her home being the safe space. And that's fantastic. It's not, unfortunately, the reality for all children and for all young people. And whilst it's great that we can maybe send the oldest child upstairs to do homework, knowing full well that we're still downstairs and we're going to be checking and we care about what they're doing, you know, I do worry for young people who are in their bedroom and really no one checks, and they can spend a long time in isolation and a long time with open access to a laptop, which, you know, that certainly would be a concern, I think, sort of unfettered access to kind of the internet. And whilst Google Classroom provides an online presence where there's a safety and a precaution and so on with engaging with adults, engaging with teachers, which can be used really well, it can also be really overwhelming. So I think Caroline's point that for Nevin, who's in year eight, it can be really overwhelming. You open Google Classroom and you've got maybe 11 different classrooms open. Teachers are accessing materials in different ways. You know, that can just take a long time to, even in the day, process what you're being asked to do, let alone actually sitting then down and doing it. I think for young people where the future is a little bit uncertain and they don't really know when they're going back to school and this is the new norm, and the fact that it's much more open-ended, I think for a lot of children, they're finding it, well, what is the point? Do you know, who's going to assess? Who's ever going to know? The exams are taken away. Do you know, these grades are being created? So there's that level of uncertainty. I think as well, we've talked about the socialisation of young people. I know after the first lockdown, when my oldest went back to school, she came home that day, and it was really that day that it hit us just how different she was, that she'd gone to school and spent the day with her friends, you know, and she'd had the banter at lunch and she'd had the catching up with people, and her posture was different. The light in her eyes was different. The way she spoke was different. And so there's this kind of, it takes its toll being on a computer screen. And we all know that as adults. I was reflecting actually with some of my sick formers just last week that we so often say to young people, do you know, everyone's finding it hard. You're not the only one to feel like you do. And I wanted to really pick up with them that when we say that to young people, we're not saying other young people feel like you do. We're actually saying your teachers and your parents, the adults in your life are finding this hard. And I think to give them the permission of, you know, it's not that when you get to become an adult, this actually would be all okay. You know, adults are coping really well. And Caroline's mentioned from a business owner perspective, we've heard the plight of medics and teachers and people having to do their job very differently. And there's probably not an industry that hasn't been touched or affected by this. So we know we're not, you know, we're not alone in going through this. But I think sometimes really taking a moment to recognise that these are not normal times, therefore we can't do business as normal, is actually quite freeing, maybe, in some ways.
It's very helpful, Mark. And it's helpful to have your perspective as a teacher as well, I think, to, you know, in a positive and a real perspective. And again, Caroline, you have different ages in your house. You know, have you noticed positive and negative things and your kids as they've worked their way through these months?
Definitely. And every day, when every day ends, Shirt and I both say, oh, that was productive today, or that was good day, or that was a disaster today. Let's start again tomorrow. So we very much take day at a time.
And I think as well, we have to recognise that, you know, parents who, you know, either are working and out of the house or indeed working in the house, you know, there a lot is being asked of parents more than ever before. You know, we're being asked to be full-time parents, but also do our jobs, also be the school teachers. And then as well, I suppose the purpose of this, we'll go on to looking at, you know, discipling our children and raising them in a Christian home and making sense of the pandemic. You know, as somebody who has been involved in children's ministry most of my adult life, I find not only do my children respond differently to me as a teacher versus a parent, but I approach my own children differently because I'm a teacher. And I think sometimes I have this expectation of I'll do it really well, and I do it, I feel at every turn. And even I think even from the discipleship perspective, you know, I can stand up and I can do a children's address and teach kids collectively, but actually teaching my own children is a million times harder.
I can definitely relate to a lot of what you guys are saying. In our house, homeschooling has been interesting. The difference, I suppose, in our house is that I have an only child, so we are lacking some of the socialisation. But I know she has told me many times that mummy is her second best teacher, but her best teacher is her teacher in school. And you know what? I'm completely fine with that, because that is the way it should be. But one of the things that, Mark, you've just touched on that is so important is about how all this is having an impact on our children's faith, and how they're growing in their faith and how they're being discipled, particularly with lack of contact in church and church being online. So could you tell us, maybe Caroline, could you tell us a wee bit about how this pandemic has impacted the faith of your children and just how you've walked with them through that situation?
It certainly has been very challenging. And as parents, we have had to step up and up our game, so to speak, helping disciple our kids, because it's easy to send them to church, to all the things that are going on. And we have great youth and children's workers in our church who do a fantastic job, but it is not their job to disciple my kids. Yes, I can encourage them, but it needs to come from the home. And I am aware, probably more so than ever, that a lot of that is just simply how I live, just through my life, that they will learn. Because sometimes when I do something or say something that is negative, or, you know, if I raise my voice and go, oh, this is, what's going on here? I notice if they are in a similar situation, maybe next week, they'll respond the same way. So, which is not a good thing, but it does make me think they learn by watching, you know, what I do. And church has been very different for us. I suppose as a Munts family who minister in a congregation, we have really realised in this pandemic that our number one congregation is our family and our kids, first and foremost. And we have been doing a lot of walking, probably more walking in the first lockdown whenever the weather was a bit better. But we do try to walk most days. And in particular, our second son, Joel, would be a little bit quieter than the others. He would be like his mum. Caleb, you don't get a word in when he's about. So Joel would be quite, he would just sort of stand back a wee bit. So when we go out for walks, Joel, one-on-one especially, would talk away. And I've had some fantastic chats with him about God, about everything on our walks, especially if we're walking in the summer. We would walk through the fields and would have talked about nature, and then that led to conversation about creation. All very natural, but that wouldn't have happened before, you know. So I try to look for opportunities to talk about faith through everyday life with them. Their prayer lives have developed. I've tried to be more at night rather than throwing them into bed and, dear Lord, bless them, amen. I'm trying to actually say, right, how about you pray? And when they pray, I'll not correct their prayer, but, you know, sometimes say, right, now that was a lot of asking. We ask God for a lot of things there. How about we thank him for five things as well? So just trying to teach them maybe a wee bit how to pray. Church is very different, obviously, for all of us. And with Stuart being the minister, Sundays wouldn't have been particularly pleasant for me, because Stuart would have come home from church, well, what did you think of the sermon? Are you for real? What did I think of the sermon? You're lucky I even had the TV on. You know, or let's see all the kids' crafts. You know, in an ideal world, we, you know, it was all, everyone was going to be colouring in Moses. And it's like, no, actually, I couldn't get them off the Xbox. But we've, again, I think, established a better routine. Again, my expectations are a bit more realistic, I suppose. Having a year nine in the house who doesn't get up that early, to drag him down to listen to his daddy preaching, who he just thinks is boring, even though I say, if you know, you're so lucky to have your daddy as your minister. I just don't do that now. He comes down and listens to. So our youth worker actually does on a Friday night a YouTube for the youth. It's a bit like a service, but it's youth oriented. It's really good. And Caleb doesn't tend to watch it on a Friday night. He's on with his friends on the Xbox. And Stuart and I made the decision that, you know what, that's okay. But he has to pick a time in the week when he's going to watch it, because that's his church. If I can't get him to sit and listen to his dad and the Sunday service, which is probably a wee bit much for him, then he has to listen to Connor. So he has, we have our lunch on a Sunday, and then either Stuart or I'll take him in the other room and sit beside him and force him to watch Connor's youth YouTube. And he actually does enjoy it. And when you're with him, you can kind of stir the conversation. And I'm happy with that wee bit with him. And then the other three, they would, so our children's worker does like a 10 minute on a Sunday morning just before the service, a 10 minute talk, and they would listen to that and then do the craft. So that would be our Sunday. Obviously discipling them is all throughout the week, and we're doing our prayers at night, and they've got all got different devotional books.
And Mark, how about you with your kids? How have you seen the pandemic impacting their faith and how they've changed and grown and how you've discipled them?
Yeah, I think very similarly to school, the fact that they've lost, as Caroline was mentioning, the socialisation of being among teenagers and even with the youth ministry. And we're really blessed within the Presbyterian Church to have so many congregations who have, you know, staff who are dedicated and are skilled, I think, as well, and really called to that ministry of making faith real for children and making faith real for teenagers. So it can sometimes be the small things. And we've just recently taken that idea of the small things of we put a jar in the kitchen and we just encourage the kids to write every day. You have to write at least one happy thing to put in the happy hearting jar. And my youngest, it's so lovely because it's quite close to where he does his homeschool. And so by break time, he's written three things and shoved them in. And so at dinner time, it's just those small things of sharing what went into the happy jar today. And I suppose it's a little bit like count your blessings.
I love how you've both been quite reflective and analytical and, you know, reflected on the lessons that you're still in the middle of learning. Mm. This time last year, we really had no clue what was ahead of us. There was mention of this coronavirus thing, but maybe it's just as well we didn't know. But I want to just ask you, in a sentence, if you could travel back in time and give some advice to yourselves at the start of 2020 about what lies ahead and what you need to take into that as a parent, what would you say to yourself?
I would say, day at a time, do not look any further than day at a time and plan nothing. No holidays, nothing, because I've had so many cancellations and big birthdays, celebrations cancelled and all of that. So plan nothing. I would say buy cakes, don't make them. That's what the general feeling is in my house. Be flexible and get out and enjoy the air and just try to enjoy precious times that, you know, you won't get back again.
That's fab. I don't agree with the cake thing, unfortunately. Grace turned 16 on Sunday, and that's one of my small joys of the weekend is getting to bake. But I think if it was the advice for me rather than advice for others, I think the advice I would give myself at the beginning is I'm not a worrier. I'm not a person who panics. But I think my advice to myself would be appreciate that worry and fear in others is a real thing. And I think that would have really prevented certainly some of the initial kind of uncertainties within the family of not intentionally wanting to dismiss kind of the worry or fear, but recognizing that it's a tangible thing for some, and therefore sort of being kinder and more tolerant.
At the end of these podcasts, we ask everybody just to share a little bit of scripture that maybe has impacted them or challenged them over the last while. And I wonder if the two of you would be willing to share something that has made an impact on you and your faith. So, Mark, would you like to go first?
I will. I think from what we've been saying today, I think it's clear, you know, how we live in our homes is significant because we're being watched, and what we say and the words that we say are significant because they're being heard and being fed into the minds of our children. And so I suppose I was challenged and encouraged in Psalm 34 about just really declaring God's goodness in all the fear conversations and frightening news reports and uncertainty. You know, his praise will always be on my lips. And, you know, whether it's the fact that we've got a lot of Christian music playing in the kitchen, for example, and the kids are dancing around and repeating kind of lyrics and going back to God's truth through music, which is a really big thing in our family. Glorify the Lord with me, let us extol his name together. That sense of declaring God, because then it goes on, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. And that sense of in the moment when we stop and we look up and we are reminding ourselves of who God is and what he has promised to do for us and what he has already done for us as victors, that as we celebrate that, it you can't be fearful and joyful and praising simultaneously. And so to do as much of that as we can so that it allows the joy and peace of God to kind of reign.
Brilliant. Caroline, do you want to share something that has impacted you?
Yeah, this was a hard one because I suppose there's quite a few that for a season have been very special to me and spoken to me. But I would choose Matthew 6, verses 31 to 34, which is actually do not worry. It just says here, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And then it's this verse in verse 33 that really struck me a few months ago. It says, but seek first his kingdom. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And I just, it just jumped out at me one day, and I thought, you know, it doesn't say seek me after you worry or seek me after you try and sort things out for yourself. It says seek me first. And it just really challenged me before I go to friends, before I go and start worrying or go to other things, to actually seek God first, and he'll work the rest out. And I'm not saying I do that every day, but it's certainly something that I really try to do. And the same theme is found in Isaiah 40, which would be another really good passage that I love, where it says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So again, it's not those who hope in the Lord might. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So we don't get our strength from anywhere else. So I need to put my hope in him to get my strength. So it's in that place of waiting and seeking that we find that God is our helper, and he wants us to draw near to him. Again, James 4 verse 8, come near to God and God will come near to you.
That's a really appropriate way to finish, I think, this evening. And I want to say a really big thank you to you, Caroline, and to you, Mark, for, I suppose, just the real and honest way that you have shared about your families. And so thank you to them too. And God bless you as you continue in this journey. And I'm sure what you've shared this evening will be a real blessing to many listening. Thank you so much. We have other resources for parents. If you have a look on the PCI website, including our new For Now resource, which has a parents element. And also our parents' Facebook page. I had the privilege of speaking to psychologist Kate Middleton to ask her for her perspective on how the pandemic has impacted children and young people. And I asked her first to introduce herself. Kate, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to just, in a sentence or two, introduce yourself to folks and say what it is you do and what you bring to us?
Sure thing. Thank you so much. It's really lovely to be with you. So my name is Kate Middleton. I'm a psychologist and a church leader, and I'm one of the directors of the Mind and Soul Foundation. So we are a national organisation all about this subject of mental and emotional health and well-being. And my particular passion is helping people to manage the challenges of tough seasons. And so I guess pandemic season has been a really unusual but quite extreme example of that.
Well, we're really grateful for all those things that you do, and I'm sure you touch a lot of people with them. And this is an incredibly unique time for so many of us. I wonder if you could just help us from a few different angles to understand, how do you think in your professional experience and your reading of research that the pandemic is impacting children and young people at this time?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky, isn't it? It has had an obvious impact, and certainly a practical impact. So the day-to-day rhythm of their life has changed, much as it has all of us. And, you know, there's a psychologist called Dr. Rowena Hill who said right at the beginning of pandemic that this season was unique in the way that it affected everyone, everywhere, in everything. And so I think that impact on our children and young people is the same as it has been on us. Beyond that, I think the impact is very much dependent on their age. So younger children, their context, their situation is so influenced by whatever we as parents or the main caregivers, the people around them, set. So if home has been able to remain a reasonably secure space, a reasonably calm space, even though they've seen big change, that will have been tremendously buffered by the support that they've received there. And for some of those children and families, life has continued much as normal. Frontline families and people who are still going to work, children who have still been going to school. And then you've got, as you get older, you're moving into adolescent age groups where our children and young people are starting to think much more for themselves, and they're starting to form their adult mind and the adult brain. And this is much more interesting because they're starting to make their own decisions about what life is like, what normal is. And they've got these inner instincts to seek out certain things that are part of their challenge in the adolescent years to achieve these things like learning adult relationships, forming this adult sense of identity and understanding who you are. And there's sort of wins and losses from that. The win is that when you're an adolescent, everything is changing and up for grabs. So they are much more flexible and creative than we are as parents. And again, they have actually in many situations adapted and adjusted so incredibly well. The more challenging side for them is that where they have instincts and things that they need to do, like exploring relationships, friendships, developing independence, those things are really hard to do under lockdown circumstances when you're trapped in the house with your family. And particularly for the age groups who have been through what would have been significant transition times, you know, gap years, going off to uni, even doing exams. I mean, whoever thought that we'd reach a stage where teenagers complained about not being able to do exams? But actually, that is tough because those transition moments are significant in the formation of things like identity, confidence, and adult skills. So I think it's quite a varied story.
You often hear, Kate, people talk about resilience and how resilient children and young people are. What would you say are the key contributors or factors in a child or a young person's resilience and ability to cope with this situation?
Well, let's remember two things primarily. The first is that children and young people are incredibly resilient. They are adaptive. They are flexible. And in a way, to some degree, that we're not as adults. I mean, if you think about it, I certainly have spent more than 40 years, let's not be too precise. Some of us have spent more or less decades than that, living the way that we have. So we're quite stuck in our ways. We're quite cemented into our understanding of how life usually works. Children and young people aren't. As I say, even adolescents are very, very up for change. Younger children, to be honest, their concept of what normal is still developing. So they have adapted incredibly quickly to something that to them just really is their new normal now. They don't have that sense of anguish that we have as adults as we yearn for a return to normality. So kids are very resilient because of some of their inner context. The other thing is that they're learning. So we as adults have the opportunity to teach them the skills of resilience. And where you're, if you might think of it like your baseline is to feel fairly helpless in the face of challenge, as you learn more and more that there's things you can do, as your confidence grows and your ability to see that you have what we would call agency, you have the ability to influence your situation, your context, and to change, maybe not global pandemic, we can't solve that, but we can make decisions that build small things into our lives, that preserve good, that put into place new rhythm, routine, that adapt things. And we can teach our children those things. So they can grow resilience, and we as the adults around them can be really significant in that. And that's probably my third point that people so often forget. They're so busy worrying about their children and young people, and that's really understandable. There's so much negativity out there. Sometimes in the media, it can just feel like this barrage of just negative stories and predictions over this generation that are growing up. That we forget probably the biggest influence on children and young people in your household is how are you coping? If you are really stressed, right on the edge, living on the edge of overwhelm, exhausted and struggling, the chances are that their context, the atmosphere in their space, the environment that they're living in right now might be really difficult. And that's not to blame you for that, because things are really tough for an awful lot of adults right now. I mean, it's incredibly challenging. People who are managing tough situations at home, who've got anxieties about maybe businesses that they don't know if they'll survive, financial worries, juggling homeschooling alongside work. Gosh, I don't think parents have ever been under so much pressure. But perhaps the single most important thing that you could do to support your kids right now is something to look after yourself, giving yourself a break, actually prioritizing your own needs for a minute, because as parents, we're so busy thinking about everybody but ourselves. You know, what's one thing that you might need to put into your day, your week, your rhythm, your routine that is about keeping yourself well? Because you'll be much better able to care for your children then. But also, if you're not on the edge of overwhelm, you're less likely to keep losing it all the time. Let's be real, because that is really hard. I mean, I am homeschooling at the moment alongside work. And I tell you, my eight-year-old, his favourite phrase right now is, "Mom, I have a question." And I've had days where I just think if I hear that one more time, I might actually be pushed over an edge. So we do have to think about the fact that we are human beings as parents and that we have needs too.
That, I have to say, as a parent, I take as incredibly helpful advice. I wonder, just in terms of being practical too, can you give us a couple of things that parents can do for their children and young people in this time of lockdown that looks like it may continue for some time?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of things that we can do that will help them in the moment, help them feel better in the moment, but also that are about teaching these good skills. You know, how do you respond when life is tough? What are the sort of character skills that you need to have that form part of resilience? And I sort of tend to talk about three P's right now because it's just a helpful way to remember it. The first is productivity. So as human beings, we need to feel we're getting somewhere, that we're achieving something. And even for small children, that can be a helpful way to help them lift mood, to help them deal with a difficult day. It's particularly useful if things are feeling totally chaotic and crazy. I mean, certainly as adults, that really helps. Just restoring a bit of order. It's surprising how much that can lift your mood if everything is just feeling completely out of control. So that could be playing games like Lego building, puzzles, drawing, craft, stuff like that. Or it might be something simple like helping them achieve a task, going for a walk, or tidying a room, I hesitate to suggest, little things like that. So think productivity and think, how can you turn things into productive opportunities? So where there's things that we need our kids to do, we can put the charts up on the wall and stick the stars on them or tick things off or put the marbles in the jar, because it helps our kids feel like they're getting somewhere. And that's important because they, just like us, they're struggling with monotony and just feeling like every day is the same and they're not achieving a thing. So that's the first one. The second one is people. So connections are incredibly important as human beings, and your kids, particularly young people, do need those connections. And that's really tough, particularly right now, if you're in lockdown, if you're isolated, if you're not able to, maybe if you're shielding, you're not even able to go out and do like one-to-one walks and things. But where things are possible, let's try and prioritize them. Let's try and make them happen. And let's encourage our kids and young people to do them. So we were chatting before the call, weren't we, about gaming, for example. And as parents, it's so easy to get anxious. I mean, my eight-year-old has had days where literally he's barely moved from a screen because he's homeschooling all morning and then he's on Roblox or he's gaming all afternoon. But there's some really interesting research that's coming out of the first lockdown, which is demonstrating that actually if kids are using gaming as a way to connect with their friends, overall the impact tends to be quite positive for them. So this is a real need that kids have. And then the third P is pursuing positive stuff, particularly positive emotions. So really this is just about fun. And I know that sounds a bit obvious, but as parents, when you're really, really exhausted, it's quite hard to continually have to generate fun. Or I find that quite hard. Yeah, I said to my son, it'll be a week ago tomorrow, so it was last Friday. I woke him up and I said, "Yay, it's Fun Day Friday." And he just looked at me deadpan and just went, "How is this going to be different from every other day ever?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's true. That's quite tough." So I was like, "Well, come on, mate, let's think of something. We'll think of something fun. Let's do something crazy today." And, you know, I don't know what it is. Put the tent up in the living room and sleep there one night, or make something, make slime. We had a good day with that. Or go out for a walk and deliberately jump in all the puddles so you do get wet, or whatever it takes. But I think we can pursue good stuff, and we can teach our kids that life isn't, emotions aren't about binary. It's not either good or bad. even in the midst of stuff that's really difficult right now, because this is tough, and we shouldn't be afraid to say that to our kids. Some of these things are really difficult. Mom and dad are struggling right now, or you feel sad, or I feel sad, we're all frustrated. It's okay to say that. But that doesn't mean we can't also have moments where we have fun, where we laugh, where it's like the sun comes out on a stormy day just for a moment. And so I think pursuing that and teaching our kids how to do that is so important. You know, I love the verse from Nehemiah 8 verse 10, that says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that Hebrew word that's translated as strength literally means it's your tower. It's like a fortress. It's the place of protection that you retreat to in stormy times or battle times. And that's so true. Our ability to keep finding ways to cheer ourselves up, to generate positive stuff, to make ourselves smile, that can get us through, it, particularly in a long, drawn out, challenging season like this one. So that's my third P, really.
Kit, that's incredibly real and practical and down to earth. Thank you for that. But very briefly, a last thing that's in my head is we hope there is an end to this, and we'll maybe start to see the impact that it's had on families, on our kids. Have you got a word of encouragement, particularly to families coming from a faith background, just as they try to support their kids coming out of this time? What sort of word of encouragement would you give to parents looking ahead?
I think in this season, you know, there's been so much about what's happened that is about the challenge of how uncomfortable it feels when we as human beings are at the end of ourselves. You know, it's like we're so aware so often at the moment that we've reached our limit. You know, it's like the limit of our human cleverness as we face, like you say, a virus. We don't actually know. We hope we've come up with a solution here and we pray that it works, but we don't know. We're quite limited in our cleverness. We've seen the limits of our capacity because we're exhausted. We've seen, as parents in particular, the limits to our control. We can't change this situation for our children. And as they come out and as they're dealing with the impact of that and processing everything that that's meant, it is challenging. And I think the question that we're forced to ask is, when we reach the end of ourselves, therefore, what then? Is that the end? But as people of faith, we can remember that actually, that isn't the end. What happens then is that there's a space that God is in and that we can reach out to and find all of those things, capacity, wisdom, creativity, energy, all the things that we need coming from a source that's bigger and better than us. You know, Psalm 39:7 says, "Where, Lord, do I put my hope? My only hope is in you." And I think that is the ultimate encouragement. So two things I would say. One, to parents, just remember that when you feel like you don't know what to do, you're exhausted, you're at your limit, that's a good moment to pause and cry out to God, because it's okay to be in that space and there's somewhere you can reach out to and God will reach back to you. But also, that's why we can be confident that this season will come to an end, because there's a bigger story playing out here, and it's God's story over the world. And this is not the end. So this is not the end of your story. It's not the end of your children's story. And things will improve. There are better days ahead.
Kate Middleton, we're so grateful for your wisdom and insight. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been brilliant. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.